Welcome, listeners, to another installment of your favorite podcast, the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and once again, I'm bringing you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. Hey, how y'all doing out there? Man, it's a stormy afternoon here in Columbus. We had some terrible thunderstorms and wind and heck, even a possible tornado in the area. I wasn't even sure that I was going to be able to do this episode of the PVD Cast because, you know, people were losing electricity and whatnot. I understand quite a few folks in Central Ohio are without power. Luckily, knock on wood, I still have electricity. You know, though, it seems like the storm has passed. It's a little bit sunny and hazy out there, so I guess that's a good thing. But enough about the weather. Let's talk about what you're going to hear on episode 67 of the PVD Cast. It's that time of the year, folks, where I get an opportunity to give back to society, to give back to some other individuals. And I'm referring to, of course, the Dustin Battendorf Invitational. It's the fourth one coming up May 15th. The River Tree Church up in Massillon, Ohio. I'm going to be part of it. A whole host of wrestling superstars from around the Midwest are going to be part of it. And, you know, I really do truly cherish the opportunity to go and entertain folks for a good cause. And Juice Jennings is going to be joining me. We're going to do a little telecommunications podcast, if you will, because I'm not sure I can use the trademarked Skype moniker, I don't know. But anyways, we sat down, we talked a little bit about the DBI, especially this year's, talk a little bit about wrestling in general. It's a fun episode. I love always hanging out with Juice. He's a good dude, and like I said, I love helping out at the DBI, so I'm going to be up there on Friday, May 15th, using my talents to entertain folks and do something good, you know, get some money back into Solace, which is, of course, a drug rehabilitation and education program in Summit County. And like I said, I'm happy to be a part of it. And if you've listened to previous episodes where I have talked about this event, then you know the deal. But if you haven't, well, that's okay, because we're going to recap everything and tell you what to expect if you come on out to Massillon and you come on out to the River Tree Church for the DBI 4. So with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and when I come out of that break, you're going to hear my conversation with Juice Jennings, where we talk about the DBI. Hey there, do you need a website? Maybe for your business or for your own personal use? Then you need to check out Bluehost.com. It's the web hosting service I, John Orlando, use for PVDcast.com. They've got great, helpful people. In fact, I've had some problems, and all I've done is chatted or called those folks, and bam, problem fixed. They've even got some great pricing, too, which, I mean, I won't talk about that because all you got to do is go over to Bluehost.com and you can find out all the information that you need. Take it from me. They're the best out there. Go to Bluehost.com to get all the details.
You already knew that. I don't know why I'm telling you that. But I'm sitting here with Juice Jennings. Juice, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Orlando. Hello, Internet. I'm back.
Yeah, we're just... It must be the fact that we're doing this late at night that we're just kind of all frazzled, right? Because you couldn't talk. I can't talk all of a sudden. What's the deal, man?
It's just a busy week, and I'm multitasking. I'm in my battle station, my bat cave with monitors and information and all kinds of stuff.
Do you have to alert somebody that there's a bank robbery in progress right now?
No, but I do have a giant coin.
Nice. Awesome.
How many people get that reference?
We'll see how many tweets we get on that one. I don't know. Anyways.
In the Batcave. Google it.
Well, you say it's a busy week because this week is the DBI. So how are things coming together for the DBI?
We're approaching it in a different way. So okay. I hope it all works out.
Okay.
We were just talking a little bit before we started recording about how we're approaching things this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been there, what, two out of the three we've already had?
Two out of the threes, yep.
And we'll be there this weekend, so you're three out of four. It's not bad. And you can attest that it's one of the most in-depth productions of any indie show on this level, like not a, without a bunch of money getting poured into it. Would you agree?
Sure. I would agree. I would agree. But let's recap for some of the listeners that might be ignorant. What actually is the DBI?
The DBI is the Dustin Batdorf Invitational, and Dustin Batdorf was my brother. And unfortunately, a couple years ago, he passed away from a heroin overdose. So obviously, this was really hard on my family and really hard on me. So we were just trying to cope with it in our own way. And it just kind of dawned on me to do what I love as a way to further drug education and try to help some people out, and that's pro wrestling. So I came up with the idea of doing a charity show that raised money for drug education and addiction services and stuff like that. I pitched it to my dad, and he was totally on board, surprisingly. So he knew the right people. I just had the idea. I just kind of set the thing in motion, but the dominoes just happened to fall in the right way, and we had the right connections to make things like this happen. And it's one of the biggest shows of the year. And everybody comes out. It's not really affiliated with any company. It's not an OCW show. It's not a war show or a rock star show. But it's got people from all over the state of Ohio and beyond, Indiana, Michigan, PA, West Virginia. Guys are coming from all over the place. And a lot of these matchups you'll see at the DBI, you only see them at the DBI because these guys never cross paths in other indie feds. That just doesn't happen. They don't work in the same place, or it's just not an option. So you'll see a lot of matchups, especially this year. So a lot of first-time matchups that have never happened before. But they all donate their time. They're putting their bodies on the line for charity. And every cent that's raised from this goes to Solace of Stark County. And Solace is S-O-L-A-C-E. It stands for Surviving Our Loss and Continuing Every Day. And the first ever DBI actually provided the money to start the Stark County branch of that service, and basically it does drug education speeches at local schools. It offers services for people who are battling addiction. It offers programs to help family members who have family members who are struggling with addiction or have lost people to addiction. So it's a pretty important thing. It's really cool that we got to do something that started the Stark County branch of that, and it's sustained yearly by every DBI. So every DBI we have sets up Solace for that year, and then they use the money that is brought in through the event and sponsorships and other things to do a couple things. It pays for them to have their meetings. It pays for them to help people who are struggling with addiction. It pays for drug take-back boxes that I don't have the numbers in front of me how many they've put out, but they put them up at police stations and other places where people can drop off prescription medications.
Okay, so, and then they're safely discarded or whatnot.
Yeah, then they're disposed of properly. So you know, because a lot of this, I don't want to go off on too far of a tangent, but
no, but I think it's something that you should. I mean, let's talk about it. You know, a lot of people out there probably have a misconception about some of these addictions that people have that start off with prescription pills, and then absolutely, unfortunately escalates.
Yeah, because just in the case of my brother, Dustin, what got him hooked in this whole cycle was messing around with prescription pain pills. And a lot of people, a lot of young people are doing that. It's kind of the drug of choice right now, and it has dire circumstances because this stuff is not cheap by any means. It's really expensive. But the first place they usually find it is when, you know, kids are in high school, maybe they have an injury, maybe they're on the football team and they get injured, then they get prescribed Vicodin. And maybe they don't take it all themselves. They sell it to their buddies. And then their buddies, you know, they get the hooked on Vicodin. Because once you start taking that and get addicted, you get really sick. You have withdrawals mm-hmm. when you don't take that stuff. So you're talking about Vicodins, Percocets, Tramadols, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I've only learned this much just because of my involvement with this program. Because I was pretty ignorant on all this stuff before it ever started. But people are abusing these medications. And then eventually you run out of money because these pills are not cheap by any means. If you try to buy them on the streets, they can pretty much charge whatever they want. So you're looking at $20, $30, $50 a pill sometimes. So eventually what you end up having to do is turning to the cheaper alternative, which is heroin. And it seems like a big leap, but they're very similar related. They're kind of the same high, and they're made of the same base chemicals and stuff like that. So if you are addicted to opiates is what the whole
yes.
mm-hmm. all that all mm-hmm. those things are just opiates. you can also turn to the cheaper alternative, which is heroin. And eventually, anytime you do heroin, you're running the risk of overdosing and passing away and losing your life. And that's what happened to my brother. He was only addicted for about a year, but it escalated really quickly. And we all knew he had a problem, so we tried to get him some help. He had eventually agreed. He decided that he did have a problem and that he was going to seek out help. And he was scheduled to go to rehab on, I want to say it was a Monday, and he was looking to just get high one more time before he went in, which a lot of people do because they know it's their last time because they're going to go get clean. So he scored some heroin, and he shot up in his room, and that was the one. Eventually, long story short, without getting too dark and depressing about it, my stepmother, because him and I we had different mothers, but so we were stepbrothers, and she realized that he hadn't gone to work that morning. His car was still in the driveway, so she went downstairs. And his door was shut, the lights were on, and music was playing in there, so she assumed he was getting ready for work. So she went back and did her thing, and a little while later, she realized he still hadn't shown up. So she went back down there and opened the door, and there he was, and he was face down on the ground, and he had already been gone for hours. So she still tried to resuscitate him. She was a nurse. But even she said later she knew, and she was still just kind of going through the motions just to know that she tried everything she could, and she called 911, and I'm kind of jumping all over the place on here, but we have a tribute video that we made of Dustin's life just to show people that he is about as average a kid as you can be. Like, he mm-hmm. wasn't, mm-hmm. people think about drug addicts, people think about a heroin addict, and you think it's a dirty, homeless guy.
Yeah, you know, like from that stereotype, yeah. That,
but in reality, just from what happened to my brother and from just being involved with Solace and the DBI over the last couple of years, you see the people that get sucked into this and get drugged down into addiction, especially when you're talking about opiates, because it starts with pain pills. So you're not talking about people who don't have money or who come from nothing, because usually these kids are from privileged surroundings, you know? So a lot of times, I mean, at the end of it, yeah, they end up looking like you would assume in the movies, like skinny and homeless, but it's because they spent all their money and sold everything they owned to get fixes of it. So, but they start off, you would never ever know you just by looking at them. So we made the video to show that he had a regular upbringing, probably nicer than most. My dad he's a successful electrical contractor, so he's got a nice home, and my brother never wanted for anything. He had a really nice life growing up, but it just shows you that addiction can affect anybody, and no one's too good for it. It doesn't care what color you are or what tax bracket you're from.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that it knows no boundaries. It doesn't matter socioeconomic background, race, ethnicity, doesn't matter, gender, exactly. Doesn't matter.
But the video that we had put together to show people when my dad does speaking engagements, at the very end of it, it has the audio of the 911 call that they got a hold of. So, and that's something I told myself I would never actually listen to it, but then I ended up, I had to watch the tribute DVD to make sure it was the right thing. And it just so happened it was one of the copies that had the 911 call on the end of it. So I listened to it. I was by myself. So I went ahead and I just listened to it, and it's pretty rough. And I can see exactly why, my dad would put that on there to play. They just play it over the big projection screen when he talks at high schools and stuff. And it really does. If that video and my dad's speech hasn't gotten to you yet, that 911 call, like, it shakes you down to your core, you know, because it's the audio. You hear my stepmom screaming for my brother to wake up. You know, it's as real as it gets. And you hear the 911 person on the other end asking, you know, is he blue? Is he cold? And my stepmom is screaming and crying and saying, yes, he's blue, he's cold. And that's when the guy's just like, you know, maybe you should just go in the other room. Paramedics are on their way. And, you know, it's as real as it gets. So it's pretty heart wrenching. So my dad still to this day, anytime that gets to that point, he steps out into the hallway when he's doing a speaking engagement. He'll leave because usually he has to still talk a little bit afterwards. And he doesn't, I don't think he wants to try to have to put together you know, a speech after hearing that, because I heard it once accidentally, and then I actually did a speaking engagement for him that I didn't know I was going to do a speaking engagement. I thought I was going to hand out information then, because he couldn't be there. So he actually tricked me into doing it. So
He tricked you.
He was on the West Coast. He was on the West Coast for something and he couldn't do it. He's like, and it was just recently actually. So he had me go over and I said, oh yeah, I'll hand out some stuff. And it was also just to promote the DBI and hand out some information. It was, at a local high school, and I get there and they're like, do you have a speech prepared? And I said, no.
And hey, he said, well,
yeah.
Did they play the wrestling card? Did they go, you're a wrestler, just make
well,
up on the
let me fly. Get to that. Let me get to that. They said, well, because your dad usually does a speech, so we have everything he usually uses, we just need a speech. And I was like, well, I don't have anything prepared, but I guess I could wing it. And they go, are you comfortable with that? And I said, well, I go out in front of a couple hundred people in my underwear every weekend. I think I can handle this. So sure enough, I did the same thing. We watched the video, and then when that the 911 call came on, I went out to the hallway just because I just wanted to keep my right train of thought. So afterwards, I came back out, and it really does move people. There's people in the crowd, because you know how high school kids are. They're assholes.
Yeah, you know? they
don't care.
They can, yeah,
drugs.
Man.
Come on.
Whatever. Yeah.
It was a pre-prom. It was the thing designed to talk to people about prom coming up. There was like a don't drink and drive person. There was a being sexually responsible person, and then I was there to do the drug stuff.
So I'm not making light of this, but the sexually responsible person, like this.
I made that term up. It's not what they're called or anything. I just figured that's the best way that I came up with it. Someone expressed the importance of safe sex.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I just could think of, hi, my name is Lydia, and I'm sexually responsible.
I'm a sexual responsibility coordinator. So I did that, and but that gets people's attention. So it's pretty extreme, but I understand why they do that, because that gets people's attention. Usually the video does, but there will still be a couple people rolling their eyes who just looking at their watches or on their phone just waiting for this to be over. But when that call comes through and you hear, you know, a mother who just – she's – without getting too graphic, she's – you know that she's holding her dead child in her mm-hmm. hand, you know, in her arms. And that's as real as it gets. It's like the most – it's just shaking. So, you know, that gets everybody. And – but I don't want to get too into this, because the DBI is, you know, it came out of tragedy, but it's a happy thing. It's a community event. It's positive. It's got a positive message, and it helps a lot of people. So I don't want to dwell on too much of that negative, sad stuff.
Yeah, and you know what? And to put it back on a positive track, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, and I mentioned it many times on this podcast, I enjoy doing the DBI, because I feel like any time that – and I'm speaking just for myself, but I'm sure I could speak for a lot of the guys that are going to be there. Anytime you get a chance to entertain entertain fans for a good cause, you know, that's important, man. That's good stuff. That makes me feel very good, like I'm giving something back to society. And I know that may sound a little, I don't know, cliched, if you will, but I think it's a great, great, great event.
I mean, I was really taken back by how receptive everybody was to it, because when I first came up with this idea, I knew it was going to be for charity. So, and I was only in the business about a year or two. So I was still really, I mean, I'm still not by any means a seasoned vet, but, at the time, you know, I was just a year or two in. So I didn't really understand the inner workings or how to ask people or I didn't know anything about running a show or booking an event. So luckily I have a lot of help from people who know what they're doing, but I knew that it was going to be for charity. So I knew that we had to get people to donate their time, and I just didn't know how to approach that and how to even go about that, you know? So I really didn't think it'd be that many people willing to do it. And, so that's why we came up with the tournament format. I wanted to do that for two reasons. First reason, because that way you only need a handful of guys to do the
sure.
tournament format.
Sure.
And two, just because there really wasn't anything like that on the indie scene around here in Ohio. I wanted something that was different. I wanted it to be something that one person could win every year. Basically, I wanted to base it on the King of the Ring because that was one of my favorite things growing up was the King of the Ring tournament. And I love the fact that it's not for a belt. It's not for a championship or anything like that. It's just it's one thing. It's one and done. You win it. And then you got that, you know, that's an accolade you have forever. And then you won a year. It's easy to keep track of. And nobody around here does it. So that's why we did that. And, so my original outlook for the, or my planning for the DBI was going to be an 8-man tournament. But the outcry of support from different indie workers, from wrestlers was way more than I could have ever thought. So basically, instead of doing an 8-man elimination tournament, we ended up just doing a different multitude of all different kinds of matches. So we have tag matches, we have 4-way scrambles, we've got singles, 4-on-4 tags, we've got all kinds of stuff. And then basically just the winners of those matches come back to the finals at the end of the night. And it's 6 men, it's elimination style, like a survival of the fittest type scenario. You get eliminated by pinfall, submission, DQ, and it all goes until there's only 1 man left. And that guy is the DBI champion of that year. So, and it's been successful so far. And, you know, I'm just really excited to see how it goes this year. So it's hard to believe it's DBI 4 already.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the matches you already have signed. So go ahead. And I know one that has been receiving a lot of buzz, of course, the Redneck Wrecking Crew, Jock Sampson and Jeff Cannon versus the winners, Jimmy Shane and Robbie Starr.
That's right. And now what this actually is, it's the first time ever for the DBI because we've had a lot of, we have tons of champions because we've got people from all different promotions. And a lot of times you'll see the Rockstar champion, the War champion, the OCW champion, different championships from all over the state show up there, but nothing's ever on the line. And this is the first time that a title's ever been defended at the DBI. And it's
true.
The OCW tag team championships are on the line. And, it just so happens that, Robbie Starr is the OCW heavyweight champion. Jimmy Shane is the Ohio Heritage champion, and they're taking on the tag team champion. So you got all 4 OCW championships in one match, and the winners have the opportunity to leave the DBI with all the OCW gold,
wow,
which I don't think anybody's ever done.
So. I don't think so. No, not in history of OCW. What are some of the other matches that are on tap so far?
Let me look that up, and I will tell you. I was telling you before we started recording this that we're kind of playing this one a little different this year. We're kind of shooting it from the hip, and we're kind of letting things happen, and it's just going to be a little more unstructured than it has been in other years because when you settle on something, and then all of a sudden somebody gets injured or has other engagements, then it throws off everything. So we're just kind of – we've got 2 or 3 matches that are pretty much set in stone. But I will tell you the tentative card right now. But as always in indie wrestling, the golden rule is cards subject to change. Another first at the DBI, we're going to have a special attraction match with Old Wrestling.
Oh, yes.
They just had their Speakeasy Spectacular last weekend.
Yes, we can talk about that in a few minutes if you like, because I know
you were
a part of it, and I unfortunately was not able to go.
You have been in the past, but
I have in the past, but this one I was super bummed about it. But anyways, okay, Old Wrestling is going to have some representatives.
Old Wrestling will be represented at the DBI when the Handlebar Haberdasher Marion Fontaine returns. He was at DBI 1, and he's been gone the last 2 years, but he's coming back, and he's taking on Nicholas Valentino.
Oh my, that surly gentleman.
Yes, exactly. And this match will be contested under old wrestling rules.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out Friday.
I know you can't throw him over the top rope.
Correct.
And no closed fists.
Correct.
And I'm sure there's some other stuff.
I believe no kicking or stomping.
You just must be a classy gentleman the entire time.
Yes.
Let's see. We got the winners versus Redneck Wrecking Crew. Myself, Juice Jennings, will be taking on Sweet Dreams, Sless Taylor.
Okay. All right.
See, we got. What?
We had some technical difficulties. Are you still with me? Sorry. Something popped up on my end. I was like, okay. Sorry. Anyways, so repeat your match, please. Go ahead, Juice. One more time.
Juice Jennings versus Sless Taylor, Sweet Dreams Sless Taylor, who has recently just gotten a little bit of a little bit of hype online. His Tough Enough video was placed on the WWE playlist.
Oh.
So it's been racking up views for a while. So I guess that remains to be seen if he's chosen for the Tough Enough season.
Okay.
It's pretty impressive.
That is.
We've got Joey Vengeance taking on another newcomer to the DBI, Amazing Nate Mattson.
Oh, okay. All right. Many people may know him from his time at War Wrestling.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. And he's one of those guys. He's one of those, you know, those Ohio area veterans that's been around forever, that's really respected, and it just hasn't worked out. He's had previous things already scheduled, or he was just unable to do it. I've tried to get in contact with him to make this happen before, and it finally worked out. So Nate Mattson is coming to the DBI, and he will be bringing his Sons of Michigan partner, Benjamin Boone, with him.
Oh, man.
And I believe they will be they're not tagging at this event, as far as I know, but they will have Ripper Blackheart managing them in their endeavors. So we'll see what happens with that guy, because Ripper Blackheart is one sneaky bastard.
Indeed. And, he's quite a character, too.
That's right. And ugly shirts. Man, he has ugly shirts.
Well, yeah. He is not a snappy dresser by any stretch of imagination.
Let's see. And the big story from last year's event, the DBI 3, was the Braindress Alliance.
Yes.
Chris the Brain put together a dream team to dominate the DBI last year. His whole plan was to get all of his members to qualify for the finals, and then they were going to just call it a draw, and they were all going to share the trophy. The Braindress Alliance was going to share the trophy, but Darkstar Matt Taylor, who was part of the Braindress Alliance, refused to do that because...
DBI is not the right thing to do, man. That's lame.
No, the DBI is all about honor and respect and the good fights. So he was turned on by the Braindress Alliance. They actually gave him, a spike pile driver, and no one knew if he would be able to continue. But he came back and came down to Matt Taylor and Ron Mathis in the final two in the DBI finals. And those guys just tore it down. They were Mathis hit a Canadian Destroyer. Taylor was hitting super kicks left and right, and in the end, Matt Taylor made Mathis submit with the Koji Clutch and became the DBI 3 champion. So this year, we've got Chris the Brain is looking for revenge, so he is assembling a new Braindress Alliance, and it's going to be the Braindress Alliance versus Team Darkstar in an 8-man tag, 4-on-4. So that still remains to be seen who will be coming back to represent each team, so that's kind of up in the air right now.
Well, let's talk about where the DBI is going to be taking place. At the River Tree Church?
Yeah, the River Tree Church in Massillon, Ohio. It's it gets a little confusing because the address is Massillon address, but it's Jackson Township, so.
City planners. It's so a little fickle. Confusing. Yes.
Because there actually is a River Tree Church Massillon campus that's actually downtown.
Really? I did not know that. Okay, but it's at 7373 Porty Street Northwest in Massillon.
That's right.
That is the street address. All right.
That's correct. And it's just a terrific venue. You've been there. You can do that. It's almost like they built this building to have wrestling shows, but then they decided to have church sermons in it instead.
It's true, and it's very, very spacious.
Yes, it's one of the best venues that I've seen around. You know, it's like it's not an armory. It's not a school gym. This is a really nice auditorium, stadium seating, lots of space on the floor, really nice stage that the entrance is up on the stage, great lighting and effects because they have a live band that plays during their sermons. And so they have all this different concert equipment that we don't bring in anything as far as special effects. We bring in the entranceway, we bring in the ring, but that's about it. Everything that you see, all the lights, all the smoke and the pyro, just kidding, there's no pyro. That's already there. There is no pyro, I swear. So the fire marshal has to know that there's no pyro there.
Are you trying to get it shut down? Is that what this is?
I hope it's packed to the gills and the fire marshal does have to cut it off.
Yeah, that would be a great problem to have. But you know what? There's more than just wrestling that goes on at the DBI. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the other festivities that are happening on Friday evening?
Absolutely. The DBI, the whole, all the festivities start at 5 p.m. Friday, May 15th, this coming Friday. The doors open at 5 p.m. And at 5 p.m., as soon as you come into the lobby area, you will have a whole bunch of raffle prizes that are up for grabs. You can buy raffle tickets with lots of great prizes. One of the biggest prizes we have is actually tickets to see Aerosmith it's changed now. It used to be Fawcett Stadium by the Hall of Fame, but now it's got a new name that I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, it's Fawcett Stadium. That's fine.
Yeah, it's the Concert of Legends tour, but it's Aerosmith playing at the Football Hall of Fame. We've got Aerosmith tickets that'll be up for grabs in the raffle. We've got I don't have that in front of me, but we've always have great our sponsors always really really do well with donating awesome prizes and. We also
have the spaghetti dinner going on as well.
Yes, we'll do that too. We've got the spaghetti dinner benefit, and I believe it's $5 for kids, $10 for adults, and it's all you can eat: spaghetti, salad, dessert, and who knows what they're going to have up there. And this is a family thing, you know. My aunts and uncles, and I have a big family. My dad has 6 or 7 brothers and sisters, and they each have 4 or 5 kids apiece. And some of those kids have kids, so this is a giant family, and it's you know we all meet up at Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving, but this is just another one of those family things where everybody comes out, and everybody has their own jobs, so a lot of people. I handle the wrestling aspect of it; that's my thing. But everybody else, they're working all year long trying to get donations for raffle prizes, getting stuff. Everything's donated, even the spaghetti that gets donated from local vendors and stuff like that. So. And they work on that. They cook it all out there at the church, and they take it up to that room where they can serve it. Then they serve it, and then I've got my uncles running security, and it's just a big deal. It's a big family thing. It's a community thing. But all that stuff is available in advanced ticket packages you can get that will have you get into the event. You get spaghetti dinner. You get raffle tickets. You get a T-shirt. You can get all that stuff depending on whether you buy the gold, silver, or bronze ticket packages. And you can get all that if you go to squareup.com/market/Solace of Stark. And if you go there, that's our first year with an online store. So you can buy the advanced ticket packages. You can buy, hoodies. We got pullover hoodies. We got zip up hoodies. We've got wristbands. We've got keychains, t-shirts, and all the stuff. Every single penny from this stuff goes back to Solace of Stark County and, drop kicking addiction. So, I mean, it's a pretty good cause. And if I say so, the merch is pretty cool.
Okay. All right. Did you have a hand in designing some of that?
I did indeed. I designed the logo of all the DPIs, and it's cool. It's cool to see something you design that's on a couple hundred T-shirts. You know.
Yeah, so. Most definitely. Now, what about some more information if folks are interested in finding out directions, address, maybe you know because they forgot it or whatnot? You guys have a Facebook page, correct?
Yes, if you just go to facebook.com/DustinBatdorfInvitational, and Dustin, and Batdorf is spelled B as in boy, A-T-D-O-R-F-F, Invitational. Or you can just go to the search bar up there on Facebook, hit Dustin Batdorf or Dropkick Addiction. It'll come right up. It's usually the first thing that comes up when you search that stuff. So we have the official Facebook page there. We've got Twitter. We've got
I forgot about the Twitter. What's the Twitter? We've got the
Twitter page. That's actually getting followers left and right. We just passed 1,000 followers recently. So, and that's at @DBI_wrestling.
Okay. Well, it's going to be a great event if you get the chance. You're up in the Massillon area. You need to stop by. I mean, just hands down. If you're a wrestling fan, you'll like it. If maybe you're a casual fan. Stop on by. Do a good thing, man. Help out Solace of Stark County and whatnot. But you wanted to talk about some other wrestling stuff, didn't you?
I did. I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to see if you watched the E60 special on ESPN. That was a couple days ago.
You know what? I did not. I'm going to catch the replay tomorrow. I think they replay it from what I saw on the 12th. I believe they're going to replay it. I did not get a chance to watch it. I watched a couple of things online that were considered quote unquote extras. So go ahead, you tell me is it worthwhile to catch it?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know what to expect because it's I don't know too much about it, but I know it was all ESPN. Like WWE had no say in what was shown or what was on the special. So they couldn't spin things a certain way. Mm-hmm. ESPN had free range to do whatever they wanted. So,
and this, for those that don't know at home, this was just a behind the scenes look at NXT, correct?
Yeah,
the product of NXT, which And for those listening at home that are somewhat ignorant of NXT, well, A, what the hell are you listening to this podcast for? But anyways, B, it is the farm team, so to speak, of the WWE, the developmental system, if you will. And so they got all access to just show you what goes on behind there. So what surprised you the most?
Actually, I'll tell you what, because it's a little dated. You could tell they filmed it a while ago. Things at the time, now if you don't know what I'm, if the listeners aren't following what I'm saying, they might, all they got to do is Google it or find highlights of it on YouTube. But it follows Adam Rose.
Oh, okay. All right.
But it follows him when he was in his previous persona of Leo Kruger.
Yes. Okay.
Which was more or less, he was more or less Kraven the Hunter, but he was... That's more or less what he was. He was like an African safari hunter.
Yeah, yeah, big game hunter, yeah.
When he wrestled guys, he was going to take them as trophies, and he was serious and no nonsense. But then all of a sudden, he shows up as Adam Rose, who was more or less Russell Brand from Get Him to the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it followed along with his career. But it talked about his family and his home situation. It talked about his wife, how he met his wife, and they dated like 3 or 4 times, and then just got married. And talked about him growing up in South Africa and being homeless. And once he got married, they had a child, but the child had a birth defect, and they have to feed him through like a feeding tube in his stomach. And so he's wrestling and when he goes into the ring, he's fighting for his family, and it makes you see him in a new light because he's not cutting a promo and he's not trying to be a character. He's just, I forget his name. His name was I think his shoot name is Ray LaPon. Ray LaPont, I believe.
Okay, maybe.
So, Ray. We'll call him Ray.
We'll call him Ray. I saw one of the extras that was available, which was like one was 9 minutes, the other one was 6 minutes. And the first one was about Tyler Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed some of his transition from his previous character of, I think his name was Mike Dalton. He was a tag team with Xavier Woods and how he... came up with the idea for the Tyler Breeze character, which was all him, apparently, minus the iPhone.
You mean Zoolander?
Yeah, pretty much Zoolander. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
that's what everybody's doing. It's pretty much you just find a popular movie character and just base everything off that. Just, yeah. Or a comic book character. So.
Exactly. The other one was like 6 minutes about Colin Cassidy. And,
I did not see that one. I saw the Tyler Breeze. I didn't see Colin Cassidy though.
Here's what surprised me. I did not know Colin Cassidy was pre-med in college.
Really?
Yeah. And he decided he just really didn't want to do another 4 years of college to become a doctor. He just was like, I want to go do, WWE. And he chased his dream. And they show a little snippet of a production meeting where they were talking about maybe cutting him, you know? Bill DeMott and Dusty Rhodes and Jim Ross and Triple H talking about maybe cutting him. And then they kind of fast forward to him being paired up with Enzo and how now they've become a very popular tag team.
Absolutely. So, and it sounds like it's pretty much the same story as the Adam Rose angle of it was. Leo Kruger wasn't working. It wasn't getting over. It was getting a little stale. It just wasn't as popular as they wanted it to be. And basically they said, you need to come up with something that's better, something that's going to work, or you're probably going to get cut. And he ended up inventing the character of Adam Rose, and it followed him along as they did the developing of that character and deciding to get the Rosebuds, you know, his party entourage. And it all built up to basically it was all or nothing when they debuted Adam Rose if it was going to work or not. So they showed him coming out with the Rosebuds and the theme music, and it really was over with the crowd, so they loved it. So it was a happy ending because it worked, you know, it reinvigorated his career and it was a new character and everything was looking up. So that was awesome. But then it kind of stinks when you know how it ends up, where it's like, Adam Rose, the character and the Rosebuds, it got stale pretty quick. So I don't know. So I really don't know if he's, I don't know if they're pressuring him to come up with something new, but I mean, I'm not in charge of creative by any means or anything like that, but I think it's right out there. Like it writes itself. You need to, I really hope they kind of embrace this E60 special and kind of just build off of that because this thing made me really, really care about Adam Rose, about Ray LaPont, the guy that portrays that character. It makes me really, what I liken this to, as I was thinking about this, is that E60 special was along the same lines as the series of, Jim Ross interviews that he had with Mankind. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, I do.
Remember when they did that series and he's, you know, Mankind's just, and this is in character, but he's talking about, you know, his experiences growing up and eating worms and stuff like that. So then what it did was it turned him babyface. It turned Mankind to babyface. And people started supporting him, even though he didn't really change who he was. He still beat people up and was crazy and scary, but people got behind him. So this, I mean, there's really, I don't see any reason that this couldn't function in the same way where people got to be backing him right now. You know, he's fighting for, go ahead.
Was there any other individual that just followed Adam Rose for that?
Oh, no, there was more. Okay. And I'll get to that in a second, but I was just going to say, how crazy would it be? Cause I guess now there's an online, some hype online to bring back Leo Kruger, which I think would be interesting, but
that would be cool.
But what if, hey, let me just say, you know, Mankind, Dude Love, and Cactus Jack were all on the same shows at multiple times, and it worked, you know? Like, it might be interesting to see
Leo Kruger with Adam Rose.
Leo Kruger come out at one point, and then maybe Adam Rose comes out later. Just, you know, you never know. Wrestling's weird and crazy, so.
It is.
But the other guys they followed Corey Graves.
Okay.
And basically, he was just really, really running hot at that moment, but he got sidelined with all those concussions.
Yeah.
And they basically tracked along with when he got the news that he had to retire because his health was at risk.
Mm-hmm.
So followed him, and he also had kind of a similar situation. He had a wife and some, you know, young kids, and he's just trying to fight for his family and support his family. So that was a little. It was sad that his career was over before it began on a grand stage of WWE like that. But then he ended up getting the job as a commentator. So it follows along with that and ends with a happy ending with him being a commentator for NXT. And then it also followed Xavier Woods.
Oh, okay.
It just dives a little more into who he is, about how he's completing a PhD, which is really impressive. He's going to be the first ever guy with a PhD in WWE, apparently.
Did they mention about him wrestling in TNA?
They showed a picture of him as Consequences Creed.
Did they? Okay. I was just wondering.
He just talked about how, you know, where he came from and what he's done in the past, and it showed a picture, and I don't know if it was a TNA picture or maybe it was a
indie picture, maybe, yeah.
I don't know if he had that persona on the indies before he got picked up by TNA.
I think he did have that persona. I think he went as I think he had a different name. I think he was like Austin Creed, but he was still doing the Apollo Creed like gimmick where he's dressed in red, white, and blue with all that jazz.
They just showed a promo pic of him in his red, white, and blue gear, and it was, I can't remember his first, it might have been Austin, but it was Austin Consequences Creed.
So
was his nickname.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was as close as they got just talking about TNA at all. But then he just talked about him.
Much like most people, not really close enough to even talk about TNA, because, you know,
just an
afterthought.
So, it's followed along with him, it's kind of the same thing, he had to figure out who he was going to be and figure out his character, because he was going up to the main roster, and basically they just followed along until he was basically the new Brodus Clay. Basically, he came out with the same dancers.
Yeah,
and the same
pretty much. Victim. Yeah, yeah.
They didn't go too far into it. They were just, and then he was on the main roster, and that was it.
So, yay! Now he's part of New Day.
And then the New Day. So, yes. You know, so again, once you know where this is, well, it's actually kind of getting better now because the New Day is finally embracing the idea that everybody hates them.
Yes.
So that makes sense. But you watch it and it's supposed to be a happy ending, like, oh, Xavier Woods made it to the main roster and it's a happy ending. But then you're like, yeah, but no one likes him, you know, or Adam
he
Rose.
He didn't get a push.
The Adam Rose gimmick worked really well. And I was like, yeah, for like 3 months. And now,
and that was it, man.
But you never know. You gotta constantly be evolving in wrestling because people have short attention spans. So that's just what it is.
It is. Hey man, we're getting up there like 45 minutes. I mean, it's been a blast, dude.
Already.
All right. You want to maybe recap real quick a couple of places where people can get in touch with you or learn more about the DBI or whatnot? How about you want to hit those real quick again?
Sure. Any questions for me, Juice Jennings? You can. Get on the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/thejuicejennings. You can send me an email, juicejennings@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter, @juicejennings. And anything DBI related, you can go ahead and hit that up on facebook.com/DustinBatdorfInvitational. Twitter for the DBI is at DBI underscore wrestling. And email for the DBI is DustinBatdorfInvitational@gmail.com.
So by the way, just as a side note, the Juice Jennings on Facebook, is it because it's because somebody else has that, right?
Somebody ripped my stuff off.
Some 12-year-old wannabe rapper punk in St. Louis.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Is that where he lives?
I don't know. I just made that up.
I'm hopping in the Juice Mobile and I'm going to St. Louis.
There's a beatdown coming.
Like at the end of Jay and Silent Bob when they go door to door, beating up all the people that talk crap about them.
On movie Poop Shoot.
That's it. Yeah, what the fuck is the internet?
Nice. Hey, hey, with that, Juice, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on the PVD cast, one of the best indie slash comic book slash nonsense podcasts going today.
Dude, can I steal that nonsense podcast? That's the best way to describe it.
Give me a cut of the action. You got it.
Of the whopping 50 cents I make on every episode?
That's it.
10%, all
right. 10%, Orlando. 10%.
You got that. All right. Hey, folks, I'm going to throw it to a break, and then I'm going to come back to wrap things up. So, Juice, once again, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm breaking it off a little funky for you, ladies and gents. John Orlando, the host of the PVD cast. I want to talk to you about Stitcher Radio. You've heard me say it 100 times. Stitcher is the best app for your podcast needs. You don't have it, then what are you waiting on? Go over to Stitcher.com, find out how to download it, or if you're pretty tech savvy, go on over to the App Store, download it, get it on your phone. It doesn't matter if it's an Android, doesn't matter if it's an iPhone, doesn't matter if you have a tablet. You can download it and take your podcast with you anytime. You can listen anywhere you want, whether you have a Wi-Fi signal or not, whether you have a cell connection or not. Stitcher is the all-encompassing place you need to be for all types of podcasts, whether it's news, entertainment, sports, politics, whatever topic it is, Stitcher has a podcast for you. And if you need some customized recommendations, Stitcher will do that for you too. Hey, what can I say? I mean, it's just the bomb, which I don't think anybody says anymore. But nonetheless, Stitcher Radio. Go over to Stitcher.com, download the app, get it so you can listen to the PVD cast and all the other thousands of podcasts that are available to you. Do it today. Well, there you have it. My conversation with Juice Jennings, where we talked about the Dustin Battendorf Invitational, the fourth annual one. And, you know, I can't say it enough. If you get an opportunity to come on out, do so. If you're in the northeastern Ohio area, you know, you can make a quick trip to Massillon, to the River Tree Church, over there at 7373 Porty Street Northwest. Do so this Friday, May 15th, the DBI4. It's going to be a great event. It's going to be an awesome event, as it always is. So come on out, help out, give back to the community, so to speak, give back to society, so to speak, and enjoy some great wrestling on top of that. So, hey, you know, real quickly, we touched on it a little bit when we talked there. You know, I got to give a quick shout out to Old Wrestling again. Those guys had their Speakeasy Spectacular this past Friday night up in May Halls in Lakewood, Ohio. Unfortunately, due to my personal schedule of coaching, I could not be there, but I heard that the show was awesome. A bunch of the guys I talked to said it was just an amazing environment, a sellout crowd, and, you know, hats off to those guys. Definitely check out Old Wrestling, O-L-D-E, wrestling.com for more information about their next big show, which is at the end of August. You can also follow them on Twitter at Old Wrestling, O-L-D-E, wrestling, all one word. You can check them out on Twitter there. Definitely, it's a great, great product. It's something that is desperately needed in professional wrestling, especially at the independent level. Something that's different, something that's unique, something that's, you know, not quite the same old, same old. All right, with that then, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into it here. As you hear the music, ladies and gentlemen. Oh yeah, it's time for Orlando's Fave. All right, my fave for this episode of the PVD cast is a place that I visited two Sundays ago. It's here in Columbus. It's at 1101 North 4th Street, and that is Seventh Son Brewing. I enjoyed Seventh Son Brewery. I went down there for a community yard sale and had a beverage down there, and I gotta say, it's a really cool place, man, and it's good beer. I had a stout while I was down there, and it was absolutely phenomenal. So if you're in the Columbus area and you want a good place to go grab a good handcrafted brew, that's right, they craft everything right there on site, head on down to 1101 North 4th Street, 7th Son Brewery. It's the beer that beer would drink if beer could drink beer. That's their catchphrase. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, as I giggle there, because that's just a funny catchphrase, I want to let you know where you can get in touch with me. Of course, you can always shoot me an email by going over to I don't know if you'd go over to that, but anyways, you would open up your email, you shoot me an email at johnorlando@pvdcast.com, or you can follow me at pvdmvp on Twitter or pvdmvp on Instagram. It's been a late night, folks. As you can tell, I'm very tongue-tied, so I'm going to wrap things up here before I make a mess of this podcast, as if I haven't already. But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.